There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
Shorty's become very famous. Where's Sean? He's become, oh, is that Sean? Look at Sean! Look at him! Wow! You know, he's got a big ego. He loves it when I mention his name.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, vote them if you got them. Here we go. It's Midday Mobile on this election day on FM Talk 106.5, live local talk of the hour for Midday Mobile. Like I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, programming switched to make way for our coverage tonight, live election night coverage with all our resources and resources even outside our studios feeding in here tonight starting at 7 o'clock. So you got the TV on. Maybe you want to have the radio on for the local angle. Maybe you're somewhere you can't be watching the TV. We're going to have the election results as they come in. And we're going to be feeding you that information here on the station. Also, our social media platforms. We brought everybody to bear on this. So Dan and Dalton are here. Leanna is going to be here running our social media, our Facebook platform, and doing election updates. So you'll be able to see that through our website and our Facebook page. And my man Jeff Poore and I will be here as well as we phone out to people we know all over the Southeast, the country, and getting them to get the latest information from their areas, maybe something we don't have, or their takes on why things are happening or what they mean. So that's how I see it. How do you see it?
About the same.
Okay,
we'll give you a very good run for your. We'll give anybody a run for their money on our election coverage.
We win. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we
don't listen to the other radio station around the state or anything.
You don't have to because they're not like around here. They're not doing it. We're number one because we do it.
Well, I think our friends in other parts of the state are.
Other parts of the state are, but I'm saying down in this.
But not here. Well, no. I don't know. Is there a certain relative that may be the brother of your father doing something? You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Well,
never has before, so I don't know. But so 7 o'clock tonight, right here.
Yeah, you're not going to beat this. It's just not even a question.
So check us out tonight. So for that reason, because you know, usually we have two guys and some change with Ron and Angelo comes on at 6, and then the George Williams Show at 7. Since we've had to move the schedule, two guys and some change is going to be from 1 to 2 today. So the next hour, two guys and some change is going to be on. Then the George Williams Show an hour earlier than normal, right after Feinbaum from 6 to 7. Then we come on with election coverage. All right, I know you have yet to go vote, and I'm holding you up. But what I saw out there is in my morning commute, dispensing the children to school and then coming back. I come straight in here to the studio. I came back to the house and did a couple things because I was dragging my feet for that sweet spot that I had the lucky time to be at the polling place when most people had to already be at work and hadn't left for a lunch yet.
How did that work out?
It was crowded. But I didn't wait nearly as long in line. I'm looking through the text line and my personal phone and the emails we've gotten and the calls, how long the lines have been. It wasn't bad. I voted E.R. Dixon, so right there at Bittensburg and University. And it was a full parking lot, which I've never seen before. I mean, there were maybe 5 or 6 places open in that entire front parking lot at E.R. Dixon. Went inside, stepped inside, could get in line, wasn't standing outside, could get inside the gymnasium, but it was full. But they did a very good job. You know, I want to point out, as there's critiques of things that come and go, I also celebrate when people do things correctly. And they had that baby running. Well-oiled machine, to be cliche. It was running great. So hopefully for you, because I know your polling place in Daphne has been one of the busier places.
Trojan Hall, they say, is very busy. The electronic poll book's going to help. Mm-hmm. That's going to get people checked in. But I also think the lines, maybe not the best indicator because of the social distancing guidelines.
But when
maybe that spreaded the lines out a little longer.
But when you have the mask on, you're supposed to be able to be within 6 feet.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, I'm just,
I don't think
it.
That's, I think some people are still going to keep that 6 feet distance even with the mask.
That's cool, whatever individuals want
but
to do, that's cool.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's making the lines look maybe a little longer than they had in the past because you really didn't do that 6 feet of separation.
But today it was not 6 feet of separation where I was. I mean, it might have been individuals wanting to do that, but it wasn't, you know, but everybody had their mask on, you know, did the voting thing and I got out of there. Wasn't bad. It was very busy, but it was not long lines. Now, looking at what I'm seeing from all over Mobile County and Baldwin County, it has been long lines. What is Jordan saying? The line for Daphne High School, as we were talking about, goes from the church next to the school, down the corner, and snakes back to the school.
Man!
Jeff, you're going to have to pack you a lunch before you leave here. I want to add this. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. I'm glad we did what we did on the air on your show and my show and on our Facebook page, breaking down the statewide amendments. Because, well, I had looked at the form that it was on the ballot. I've looked at the sample ballot. Oops. Jeff and I share an office. He's seen how many times I've had sample ballots printed out there laying on there over the months. Looking at it today on
they're
the ballot,
awful.
That is awful.
They're awful synopsises of those of what those amendments are.
We were supposed to get better in 2007 or something that they changed it to make it to where it was supposed to be more in regular language. Well, it didn't do much of an improvement. And Amendment Number 4, if you read Amendment Number 4 as written on your ballot, that's the one to remove the racist language from the Constitution of 1901 of the state of Alabama. It doesn't say that at all. It's not just not written in regular language that I would say. It doesn't give you the information. That's a shame.
Is it?
That's a shame.
Is racist so subjective that they don't really
want to put it in there?
Put it in there.
See, I'm one of these weird people that, like, let's just say what things are and be truthful. And people, adults, everybody who votes legally as an adult, they can handle it.
Well, right? As Republicans,
it was embarrassing the way they wrote that.
As Republicans and conservatives, you see these constitutional amendments, and if you don't really understand, if no one's gone out of their way to sell them to you in a way that's intellectually coherent, I think the impulse is just to vote no.
Yeah.
Because any type of government's trying to do something, you got to be skeptical. And while there are times when you need government to make changes to the Constitution, in general, as conservatives, we're skeptical of what government is up to, and these amendments are on the ballot by virtue of what the government wants to do. So, you know, instinctively we're like, yeah, I don't think we'll vote against this.
Governor Ivey voted yes on all of them, right? She said four of the statewide amendments. So, by the way, too, something else that bothers me on an amendment is when you have it packed, like some bill coming out of Congress with so many things in one amendment. And, you know, they're like, here's the main body. And then, and also, and this other thing, that worries me, too. Why not let those other things stand on their own as an amendment instead of packing that full? But we'll talk about that when we come back. I did mention to you as I walked in here at the end of your show, Pennsylvania. You were talking last hour about, you know, looking at Florida, looking at Georgia, North Carolina, but Pennsylvania and the situation there. I could tell you this. The turnout there, now this is anecdotal as the day is long, but these are my kinfolk, these are my cousins, and my family from my mom's side in Pennsylvania. We're rural ag folks, halfway between Philly and Pittsburgh, really, South Central Pennsylvania. They have been so fired up for President Trump from 2016. It has not waned now. They've sent me pictures where they can't have the boat parades the way we do down here. They had a truck parade going down the Pennsylvania Turnpike that went miles and miles of vehicles.
Look at the Trump rallies in Pennsylvania, and just packed full beyond the horizon of people. It's like the Pope was coming to visit or something. There's something to be said about that. And if I'm a Democrat, I'm a little concerned because I'm not seeing a lot of reporting coming out of Philadelphia. That's where you got to run up the score if you're a Democrat. I'm not seeing a whole lot of about lines or anything crazy like that. So like, my takeaway here is that, you know, and this is really key, Sean. You already have Biden campaign staffers talking about, well, we still got a path even if we don't win.
Right. Did they acquiesce this morning? Right.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, really? Well, what's on your mind there?
Well, maybe what's on their mind is what I'm seeing just through. And like I said, I understand how narrow and anecdotal this is. I'm not trying to say I have any kind of snapshot.
But it's not.
Or my cousins and my kinfolk are representative of every person in Pennsylvania. Lord knows they're not. But the enthusiasm there is beyond what I saw from them in 2016. And they were berserker in 2016, my cousins. But they're beyond. The stuff I'm seeing now is more people, more events, more motivation.
I think that
translates into something.
I think that's a reflection of really what's going on statewide there outside of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Yeah, so we'll watch that. And like you said, the fact that maybe there's a little bit of a wink and a nod here from campaign managers with Joe Biden's campaign that it may not have to go, the path may not have to go through Pennsylvania. Believe me, we'll be breaking all this down coming up tonight at 7 o'clock during our live coverage of election night here in these United States. And this Midday Mobile show right here in Southwest Alabama is coming back next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1221 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this election day, if you haven't noticed. Election day. All right, go. Let me go through all the cliches and
is
the pablum.
Is it
go
election
vote.
Day?
Vote.
Is it election day?
Let's do the pablum. Go vote.
I hadn't heard that.
Exercise your right. Do your civic duty.
And since anybody on social media told you to go vote?
Google. They Google.
Google. What do we do without Facebook and Google telling us that it's election day?
I don't know.
I might have missed it.
It would have crept up on you like that.
And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I forgot to go vote.
You know,
is there anybody in America that's like that?
Yes, there's a guy next to me when I was filling up gas earlier. He was asking me how to find the Home Depot. And then something came up. He said, oh yeah, it is election day. I said, yeah. Dalton said something this morning, like he usually does, that stuck with me. Said, if anything, here's your footnote in history for whatever happens by this evening. President Trump probably did more for voter turnout than any other any kind of celebrities come out and say, dude, you got to vote. Donald J. Trump has done more for voter turnout than any put together MTV Rock the Vote special, right? I mean,
they
never could hardly move the needle for turnout. President Trump has moved the needle for turnout more than any of those efforts in the past.
It's that emotional appeal. It's a component of politics that we sometimes lose sight of it because we think, oh well, this guy's got the best tax plan, this guy's got the best health care plan, this guy's got the best defense plan, blah 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 blah. Instead, you're not voting against or for Trump. Well, maybe you are some of you, but a lot of people. These new voters, I think a lot of them are voting against or for Trump because there's some kind of emotional component that appeals to you or something that you just reject, and it makes you sick to your stomach to see him.
Well, I think you're right in most cases. I am that person you described, right? The person I am a person that is about policy.
Vote the issue.
I do. I vote issue. I vote policy.
Liberty. We're in this business, and we understand all that. Right. And for a lot of people, it's difficult to get a grasp of a lot of those, you know, those weighty, important things where they really base their judgment on just what they think aesthetically of the person, and maybe it goes beyond even party labels, Democrat or Republican. It goes into the realm of just like, oh, that guy, he tells it like it is. He's, yeah, you know, kick-ass American. Or,
right.
Oh, my God, this guy is not presidential. He is a vulgarian. He is uncouth. Therefore, I can't even stand the sight of him. I am going to go vote for somebody else for that reason.
Well, the question is, how many of those people are packed tightly with other people that think exactly like they do?
I don't know. I mean,
because you were talking about New York earlier, people say, "Well, New York, of course, it's going to go blue." Florida is fascinating. You know, you broke down the failure of the Biden campaign in Dade County and Broward and Palm Beach County. Then you look up the I-4 corridor. We're not talking the I-4 corridor like we used to. Remember, that was always a discussion. Florida, south of the I-4 was generally blue. North of the I-4 was red. It was the Maginot Line. It was the trenches of World War I.
And you had to
right
win
there.
Those counties on
That's
I-4.
Right. That's right, but I hadn't heard that come up nearly as much.
It's come up a little bit, but I don't think that's it's no
longer
about. I think
it's more spread out. It's balkanized where the support, like if
right, it's no longer that game of winning undecided. It's get out the vote of your base, right? And where is the Democratic base? It's in the three South Florida counties and maybe Orange County and Orlando. Which is technically on I-4, I guess, but not really a swing county. And then the rest of the state is Republican, and we know there's a lot of enthusiasm for Donald Trump. I just think the Biden campaign has done a lousy job, and particularly winning over Hispanics in South Florida that are typically a Republican voting bloc because they're refugees of Castro and Cuba.
It depends on what groups.
But I think they could go Democrat. I mean, I don't think they're locked in always Republican.
So this is anecdotal as well, but, you know, so my still have one of my younger sisters lives in Dade County. My awesome niece and nephew and my pretty cool brother-in-law live there. And, you know, I was born there and lived the first 7 years of my life there. I still have people I know down there. The Cuban voters, you say Hispanic voters, say Cuban voters. So Cuban voters, yes. The parents of people my generation are so solidly Republican, there's nothing they can move.
They're Cold War refugees.
They can't move them. I mean, I grew up as a little kid in their kitchens, listening to the stories about what happened to them in Cuba. Not moving them. The children of those people my age now, I'm 48, you started getting a little bit of blue in the mix. Just because it's Miami, because it's Miami, and you live in Miami, and they grew up as Americans, and they live in Miami, so they're a little bit of blue. What I'm worried about is the next generation, our children, right? People my age, children. I have seen a lot more from their kids on social media that's blue. But then you go outside Cuban immigrants, and you start looking at the whole Latin community. You have obviously individuals that vote all kind of different ways. But you have people say, well, all Hispanics do this. No, Cuban immigrants do one thing as a block, but I would argue you start looking at folks who are from Mexico vote differently, right? More for Democrats than Republicans, but I don't understand it because the value system of most folks I know that I know personally that come from Mexico line up with Republicans, at least on social issues. You look at Central American, South of Mexico countries. I think it's kind of a mixed bag there. But we'll see how those votes go. If that moves Florida's numbers, does Florida become... Does it, instead of just being the I-4 corridor splitting north and south, does it become this county here and this county... Like, there's a red county down in South Florida, and maybe there is a blue county that shows up around Gainesville in the college town, you know?
There's Leon County, which...
Yeah.
Oh, man. And Gadsden County there, both reliably blue. Mm-hmm. It does, but... The bulk of the population, the state is geographically predominantly red. Where Biden really had some shortcomings is he's going to have good numbers in Palm Beach County, and he's going to have very good numbers in Broward County. But he needed to get into Miami-Dade, really maybe get some of those Cuban voters
yes.
that were kind of maybe they could go blue. He didn't do a job. He didn't do that.
No.
And they needed big numbers. They're still going to win that county. But they needed
to win it
decisively.
Yes.
They needed to win it by big margins, and I just it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
All right, Deb, before we let you go, stand in line to vote. Have you ever wondered that about Palm Beach County? Why they would go blue? Do you know what the average property value is in Palm Beach County? The income? I mean, you know the wealth that's in Palm Beach County? Biden's coming after you.
It's the same phenomenon we see with Wall Street in Manhattan.
You're seeing just a southerly version of it.
Yeah.
Like, their boathouse costs more than most of our houses here in Southwest Alabama.
If they could just plan everything right and we could all just get along, then the world would be a better place. Since that's weird mentality.
Isn't that where Epstein was? Okay. 12:30 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Roll it on this Tuesday. Oh, yeah, it's election day, right? So, like nobody else told you. By the way, I'm scanning our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Dalton has put up here, who will win the presidential election? Dalton, you did leave Kanye West out of there, and I'm kind of upset about that, but he listed President Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Joe Jorgensen. And right now, hey, libertarians, L folks, what's up, dogs and doggettes? Joe Jorgensen with 33% of the vote in our very unscientific online opinion poll question. You can hit that up on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, we talked about what's happening tonight, 7 o'clock, live coverage of the numbers as they come in. And one of our guests, and he joins me here on Midday Mobile, but also be on with us tonight as well from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation, my buddy Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean.
You said long lines mean what? When you see long lines at polling places, that means what?
It means there are a lot of people that didn't early vote, and they are now standing in line wasting their time. And that's the scientific – look, I'm a seasoned veteran in politics, yes. And so I offer that level of insight.
It's pretty quality stuff. By the way, you started talking about how people – they've been doing this for a long time, but today – more than ever online. If you vote for so-and-so, I'm not your friend, or I can't be around you. You know, those kind of absolutisms that people have been putting out there. You've seen that?
Oh, of course. And I mean, this is the biggest load of garbage. I mean, I had a friend even last night, because of my views as a pro-life individual, just coming after me. And I said, look, I like you and I don't like you because we agree, but there's not a whole lot of, if you just want to beat me up because we disagree, that's kind of dumb. And thankfully, we live in a country where we sort out our differences by voting. That's actually how this works. It is designed that way. This is not some kind of accident. And I think that's great. I mean, I don't want there ever to be perpetual minorities. I mean, you know, Republicans have a shot, and if they do a good job, people reward them. If they don't, they say, nah, I'm going to give the other guy a shot. And that's way better than just having one person or one party in power indefinitely. You know, that's an authoritarian regime recipe if there ever was one.
Well, add this anecdote to the mix of what you're describing, because this was relayed to me this morning by grown folks, folks that are older, seasoned citizens, said, oh, okay, part of them, my parents. And my parents were going to carpool to take somebody else to the polls with them, right? So mom and dad are going to go. And one of their neighbors are going to take her with them to go vote. So, you know, she didn't have to drive. Well, that person said, well, but I don't vote like you vote. And so refused the friend, delightful lady, friend of my parents, refused the ride over to the polling place right near our house because of how she was pretty sure my conservative parents would vote. Would refuse the ride to go to the polling place. And somehow it, I'll use a term here, I like, sullied her vote to ride with some people who she thought would vote differently.
Well, I wish conservatism were contagious. Unfortunately, it's not. And, I see a lot of this. I see this like, well, we're all going to die, you know, if things go the wrong way. And it's not going to be okay. Cameron, do you not know that the socialist Antifa people will march through the streets and there will be dead bodies everywhere if Biden wins? And then the Biden folks are saying, well, if Trump wins, America is over. And I'm like, really, guys? Really? Do you actually believe it when you say that stuff? Because as best I can tell, in spite of all the cries of voter suppression, a whole heck of a lot of people are voting right now, and everybody's telling everybody about it online. So this seems like it's working, whether you like the outcome or not.
I'm stealing this from our man Dalton, but he said this morning that beyond any kind of rock the vote or any kind of celebrity go out and vote movement, President Donald Trump has done more for voter turnout than any of those, you know, organized efforts of the past.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think this is a good thing. And I'll put a real fine point on this. Anybody that's like, you know, we need less voting because that's bad for my party, you need to stop. I mean, the idea that votes should be legally cast is something I really do support, but I'd like more people to legally cast votes. I'd like more people to engage and care. And so the fact that there's a huge turnout right now is great.
But you said engage and care. And that's, and obviously, I mean, I'm going to support legal citizens' right to vote, whatever I can do. But I do worry with increased turnout, you have an increased number of low information voters. You know, I mean, I still defend their right to vote. I mean, the founders didn't say, you know, you had to know what you're talking about. But I do worry as a citizen of this fine republic that people who aren't educated on the issues might just go vote just, you know, because it's the thing to do today. It's the hot thing. It's trending.
Yeah, well, I blame us. I mean, I blame the media. I blame folks that, you know better. And they say, well, it's easier to just vote for your team. And, you know, we're a low-information society, let alone low-information voters. I mean, we just have feelings, and then we run around like we're an expert. And that's a choice. I mean, we have the option to inform ourselves. It's easier to get information than it ever has been in human history just because we don't like it, and we would rather say, well, this candidate's bad or that candidate's bad, and they're not on my team. You know, man, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that because that is a intentional choice that people make. And if you just want to stay dumb and be dumb, I can't stop you.
All right, let's do this. Let's get you into the trenches, though. As much as we're joking about this, you have a long history in the higher end of politics out there. So, Cameron, let's talk about what you watch tonight. And you're going to be joining us during our coverage tonight. But telling somebody who's listening right now, they're off on lunch break or whatever, riding back to the job site or the office or whatever, what are you watching first? So when the Eastern time zone states come in, what are you watching?
Well, I mean, the big one that we want to see first is Florida. I mean, as soon as we can get some information on Florida, that's going to be close. Everybody knows it. You know, any either candidate that gets that gets a major boost, particularly Biden. I mean, if Biden gets Florida, it makes Trump's path real, real tough. Obviously, North Carolina we want to see. I think that at the end of the day, we look at the Eastern time zone, and if North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, as those swing states go, I think the election is heavily predicated there. The big one that I'm looking for, and I've said this repeatedly, is Georgia. If we see a Georgia that turns blue, just buckle up, Republicans, because it's going to be a long night.
Am I missing something? I mean, sure, there have been areas of Georgia, and there, you know, you can talk about some. I mean, but Stacey Abrams didn't exactly run away with something, right? So, I mean, am I missing something? This big blue turn for Georgia, is it really that much of a thing? Is it? I mean, and if so, what do you blame it on? Because you look at Texas with the Californication, you know, just like they moved into Montana and all that. People from California move away from California because they don't like the very liberal politics of the state, and then they go to a new place and try to make it California again. But is that true in Georgia? I mean, they're not a bunch of what's turning Georgia blue, if that is true?
Well, I think Georgia, we've known Georgia was trending blue, particularly with a lot of minority vote in Georgia. There are a ton of minority voters that heavily vote Democratic, and we know that, particularly around Atlanta.
But they didn't just show up, right? I mean,
No, they didn't. But I think this is what I've been saying to Republicans all along. If you don't have a vision for the future, if you don't have a leadership plan that pulls in a whole lot of people who aren't immediately saying, hey, you're my person, you're going to lose long term, because you hear the phrase, politics is about addition, not subtraction. You got to find ways to bring in people who aren't already with you. And I think that particularly in the Southeast, we take it for granted. We say, well, this is just Republican country. Well, guess what? I mean, yeah, it's an anomaly, but, I mean, Doug Jones is a Democrat, in case anybody hadn't noticed. I mean, the fact that even happen, as bad as Roy Moore was, should tell you that if we just kind of sit back and say, hey, this is where conservatives live, you know, it's going to be a big problem. And I can tell you for sure, if Texas, for some reason, went Democratic, I mean, you're not going to see another Republican president for a very long time.
Yeah, just a side note, I think if Roy Moore would have been running in Wyoming, he would have lost to a Democrat. So I just, you know, want to point that out. The Texas, I mean, but it is, I wonder if the inverse happens as people leave the Californias. And I mean, there's Montana and Texas are two states I know about that have a big influx there, people from California. But eventually, does that, do enough people, if you dilute red states with people coming from blue states that are going to not turn Republican? Because I think a lot of times you talk to people that move like here to Alabama from the Northeast and say, oh, I used to be a Democrat, but I got here and I could see the error of my ways. I'm voting Republican. But if enough of those people leave California or leave New Jersey or all that, does that leave some kind of chance for those states to turn purple from being blue? Because now the Republicans that stayed may have a... You see what I'm saying? Now, if you spread this Democrat vote out across the Fruited Plains, can you turn everything blue? Or eventually you move enough people out that other states start coming into play that were solid Democrat in the past?
Sure, the equilibrium shifts, but when you've got a major population center like California, California can lose a whole heck of a lot of people and still be a very large state. And I think, you know, for example, my next-door neighbors are from Orange County, California. They're very conservative. But, I mean, they said, man, I don't want to be in California anymore. So just because someone's moving from a blue state doesn't mean that they're a blue voter.
Right.
But on the same note, we've just got to – I really think we got to be thinking about more than just maintaining Republican South. And, you know, this has been my gripe about the Tuberville campaign in Alabama is, okay, so his whole campaign is I'm with Trump. If Trump's not there – what's the plan? And is Tuberville a leader for the future or not? Yeah, I know he's not Doug Jones. Yeah, I know a Republican is going to win that. But is that the best Republican from a solid, safe red state? And that's the kind of thing we got to start thinking about as conservatives and Republicans.
Okay. So, but what is the – that senator coming from the Republican red state should be what? That should be the farthest right. Wouldn't you argue? I mean,
yes.
People often will say, you know, you look at somebody from the Northeast and they go, well, that guy's not a real Republican. I say, wait. That's the most conservative person that could be elected in Massachusetts or somewhere like that. You know, don't compare an Alabama Republican and a Republican in Massachusetts, because somebody as right as they are in Alabama would never get elected there.
Well, tell me exactly. And I mean, here's my thing as a conservative. It should be conservatives from red states that can be openly conservative. They can talk about limited spending, making rational fiscal decisions, about limiting the role of government. And yeah, somebody in Pennsylvania or Ohio, if they're a Republican, is going to be a different kind of Republican. They're going to have to, you know, maybe bridge the ideological spectrum a little bit more. So my point is, if we're sending them from deep red states, they should be really conservative and they should be out in front. And my question to you is, when we see Republicans on the news, when we see folks that are, you know, the standard bearers of Republican, are they from the Southeast? Are they from Alabama? I mean, no. Is that what we see or not?
No, that's a good point. We haven't.
Right. And so we've got a lot of folks down here who are very conservative that talk about how that conservative they are. But my question is, how are you leading? How are you sort of putting out an agenda that says, here's what conservatives believe, here's what we're about, here's what the future looks like? And I just hadn't seen it. I mean, just to be blunt, it's a safe area, so they know they're going to win, but are you going to lead?
There you go. Good things to think about on this election day, and we'll be checking back in with you this evening for more coverage as the numbers come rolling in from Georgia and Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, all that good stuff.
Sounds good, man.
All right, there he is from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation, Cameron Smith. And we'll be right back. And reminder, too, special programming, 1 o'clock, like in just about 10 minutes. Two guys and some change. They will run in 1 o'clock because we've moved them from their normal slot to open up for tonight's coverage of the election. All right, and the George Williams Show moves to 6, not at 7 tonight, but at 6.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Dalton, everybody else, check out at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. I just retweeted, which is, I think, the coolest tattoo of all time. The coolest tattoo of all time. And you know, I'm not a big cheerleader on the tattoo world. It is a cool tattoo. I'll explain more in a second. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. My friends with Harry's have been shaving with them for like 7.5 years now. I want you to do the same thing. But look, brand new improvements with Harry's. The sharpest blades ever. Now, they got the sharpest blades ever. I'll tell you, how sharp are they in a second? But unlike other razor companies, Harry's isn't charging you for their new product improvements. Their sharper blades are still as low as $2 each, which I love. Love the great shave you get from those blades. I love the $2 each and the convenience of having those blades show up at my house. The new blades are so sharp that they did a study with guys shaving 4 times a week, and the guys reported that with Harry's new blades, their 8th shave was as smooth as their first. I guess I've been shaving with those for about 2 months now, so I can jump on board as part of that study as well. Check them out, and right now is a great time to do it. First of all, you can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in the big box drug and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. But if you like to shop online and help promote this show, okay, I've got a great thing for you right now. Harry's has a great offer for y'all. New customers can get a Harry's trial set for just $3 when you use my code SEANS. S-E-A-N-S, Sean S, at Harrys.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping. But you need to use my code, Sean S, S-E-A-N-S, I guess S for Sullivan, my last name, Sean S, at checkout, and give Harry's Sharper Blades a try. And then hit me up on social media. Tell me what you think, because I think you're going to love it. And the deal can't go wrong. All right, we'll put this up. I'll retweet the Matt Taibbi has put up his, who I like, Matt Taibbi as a journalist. I really do like the guy. Has put up his drinking game rules for tonight's election coverage. We'll talk about those on the Twitter feed. But I want to, South Alabama Blue on Twitter showed his tattoo in a picture. I am not a tattoo person, don't have a tattoo. Can tell you I really never plan to get a tattoo. It's just my thing. I'm not getting one, right? I want to be different. So in today's world, I'll be different and not get one. And I always would say, I don't want to get a tattoo of something that down the road I might not believe in or not, you know. So this tattoo is of the Constitution and we the people written across a forearm. That's something I can get with and get behind. Well done. All right. Two Guys and Some Change, special edition, up next.